Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome back to Huff Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
And I'm Grace Seegers.
And our co-host, Haley Bird-Wilt, has returned to work from maternity leave, but was not able to make this episode. We're excited to have her back, hopefully next time. This time, we're going to be talking about Hayden Christensen and his return to Star Wars on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series for Disney+, and according to a recent rumor, anyway, also the Ahsoka series for Disney+. This is interesting news here that really shows, I think, personally, a lot of faith that Lucasfilm has in Hayden Christensen and a lot of desire to sort of bring him back into the fold. But let's start things off with, Grace, your general reaction to Hayden coming back. Are you excited to see him in Star Wars again?
I am excited. As we know from the Attack of the Clones episode, I am a fan of Hayden Christensen's portrayal of Anakin in Attack of the Clones and in Revenge of the Sith. I think he gets a bad rap. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does in these shows. I think it kind of heralds a willingness among Lucasfilm to kind of accept and reevaluate the prequel movies. You know, there was a time, I feel like, right before the sequel movies came out where, you know, talking about the prequels, like it was a bad word. And I think that there is recognition, at least among Lucasfilm now, and I think among the fans too, who are disenchanted by the sequels, that the prequels actually had some good things. They were not without their flaws, but they did have some good things, and I think Hayden Christensen was one of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think I said this in our episodes on the prequels too, but a lot of the hate for him, I think, is really better directed at George's writing. He was playing a role that was not supposed to be very composed, very put together, in some cases even very likable. I mean, he did a very good job, I think, portraying a character who had a lot of flaws, and I think sometimes viewers tend to take out their frustration on either the writing or sort of the character choices. I don't think Hayden deserves the hate for that. And I'm also excited to see, as you said, as part of this almost, I won't say rehabilitation, but as part of this revitalization of the prequels, they're really delving... Yeah, Renaissance is a great word for it. It's really an effort by Lucasfilm to say, this is a rich area of storytelling. Some of the stories that have already been told are really great fodder for future stories. We're going to come back to these characters. We're not just going to try to reinvent the wheel here. We're going to give some love to characters and situations that maybe got short shrift in the past. And I think Hayden and Anakin in general, they certainly fit into that. And just like the Clone Wars TV series gave us a chance to see more of Obi-Wan and Anakin during this time that the movies didn't really touch on, I think now, at least theoretically, Hayden's appearances on these two shows could give us something similar, which is fleshing out a little bit more of the relationship that Anakin has to these other two people who, again, we don't really see a ton. If you're just measuring by screen time, not a ton of time to really get a sense of their relationship, certainly in terms of Obi-Wan and Anakin on the movie front. Obviously, Ahsoka's not even in the movies, but on the TV side, they have a lot of time together, but only in a very specific era. We don't really know yet how Obi-Wan is going to be thinking back on his time as Anakin's master and friend, and we don't really know too much about how Ahsoka is going to be reflecting on those times. So, yeah, let's get into a little bit of how we think he's going to feature into these two shows. I will start things off, and I guess I will say mild spoiler alert if this turns out to be true. I don't really know that it's true. I haven't seen confirmation. It is a rumor. So if you don't want to hear any rumors that could possibly be true about the Obi-Wan TV series, skip ahead a little bit. But I will say I've seen a vague, thin, flimsy rumor that there is going to be a duel between Obi-Wan and Anakin in the Obi-Wan series, which I will say personally, I would really rather not see that. I think in A New Hope, when they reunite and he says, when I left you, I was but the learner. Now I'm the master. I mean, that moment does have a lot of power, and I don't want to see that taken away by them having a duel in this series, which would kind of invalidate that line. Grace, what do you think about that possibility? Would you like to see that, or do you sort of see it the way I see it?
Yeah, I gotta say, I see it the way you see it. I don't think that he should return as Darth Vader, or that if he does return as Darth Vader, that he should be in a physical confrontation with Obi-Wan. I think that takes away from a lot of the power of that moment in A New Hope, and also would require a fair amount of retconning, because in A New Hope, as you just said, Darth Vader says, when last we met, I was the learner. And it's like, well, if you've met between that point, then that's no longer really an accurate statement. So I would be, I confess, a bit disappointed if there were a physical confrontation between the two of them in that respect. I could be down with having Darth Vader in it as kind of like a side character doing his own thing, maybe on the hunt for Obi-Wan, kind of like the fugitive style situation where Darth Vader is Tommy Lee Jones and Obi-Wan would be Harrison Ford in that scenario. Only I would not actually want them to meet up at the end, so that's a bit of a tortured analogy. All of which is a very long way to say, I agree with you, I wouldn't really like that.
Well, and I do think it's interesting to consider how they're going to use Hayden if he is appearing in the show. I tend to assume that he is going to be showing up in flashbacks. Obi-Wan is going to be reflecting a lot on his past. He's going to be thinking back to, obviously this is also through the prism of, you know, he has just failed, or perhaps a few years ago he has failed in a major way with Anakin, and he's thinking back on that failure. He's thinking back on what he could have done differently. There, you know, one way to do it might even be in the present day, he's encountering these sort of small scale situations on Tatooine that he has to resolve in a discreet way without getting noticed. And as he resolves them, he's sort of thinking back on times, perhaps during the Clone Wars or beforehand, that remind him of that situation that he's in. And maybe those memories involve Anakin. I mean, my sort of gut instinct is you don't bring back Hayden Christensen to do Darth Vader, because you could put anybody in the Vader costume, and you're bringing back Hayden for a specific reason. It's probably not just to have him play Darth Vader. So there's got to be some element of flashbacks here. Obviously, Darth Vader as a character at this point, if you're going to see Hayden Christensen's face, it's almost certainly going to be a flashback. I guess you could do the whole, like, he's in his chamber and the helmet is off and they just do kind of a Hayden Christensen, like, disfigured face, as opposed to the sort of the Sebastian Shaw disfigured face that we see at the end of Return of the Jedi. I guess it would sort of make sense time-wise that he would look more like Hayden Christensen at this point. But again, I feel like you're not bringing him back to do the prosthetics as, like, Darth Vader sitting in his meditation chamber. You're bringing him back to show him in his prime and have that be a moment that Obi-Wan is dwelling on as he thinks about his failures. That's kind of my assumption.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When I first saw the news about this, I assumed that it would be in flashbacks, that he would be appearing to Obi-Wan in those moments, maybe, as you said, where he is needing to figure out a situation, looking back at an adventure he had with Anakin. I think that could be really fun. I think it's really cool potential opportunity to kind of explore the relationship a bit more, because as you said, we see it explored more in the Clone Wars TV show, but as Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, over the totality of the two films that they're together, they really don't have very much time together. And I think that really kind of speaks to what a good job they do in those two movies, where you're able to believe that they have such a powerful relationship and such a close bond that when Anakin betrays him and they have that duel at the end, it's very meaningful and profound. And I think that speaks to their chemistry and their ability to really sell that relationship with, honestly, just a few scenes together. So I'm really looking forward to them as actors exploring that relationship more. I think that could be really fun. As a fan of the Clone Wars TV show too, I just think it's really neat to have more things potentially set in that era, because I do think that's an underexplored time. So yeah, I'm really nothing but excited for it if it does turn out to be flashbacks. Like I said, if it's Darth Vader, I'm kind of ambivalent towards it. But if it is flashbacks, I think that could just be really cool, as long as they don't mess it up. That is my very important caveat, is that they could mess it up. And by they, I mean like the studio, the writers. I don't mean Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. So as long as they, the overlords, the Lucasfilm overlords, Disney overlords, do not mess it up, then I am very excited for it.
Yeah, I totally agree that Ewan and Hayden have really remarkable chemistry for people whose characters don't actually go through everything that, like, in universe we know they go through. Like, the characters themselves have been through a lot. They do a remarkable job of portraying those characters without actually having gone through it on screen. So, and that's part of, frankly, that's part of why this is really exciting news to me, is that the opportunity to see more of that on screen, even if it's just through the flashbacks. You know, this whole idea of using present day Darth Vader in this show is interesting too, because, I mean, there's two ways that this show can happen. One is it's totally isolated and contained to Tatooine, and it's Obi-Wan doing his Obi-Wan thing. And maybe he occasionally visits the cantina and he sees, like, I don't even know how much this would happen in universe, but like hollow footage of Darth Vader on some mission, you know, he sees that like on the screen or whatever. And that is sort of a little jab in his side of like, oh, right. Like, I basically made him, essentially. This is all happening because of me, or at least that's his thought process. I don't know to what extent there would actually be like media coverage of Darth Vader. I feel like one of the sort of things that, at least in the Legends continuity, was sort of true about Darth Vader is he was this wraith. He was kind of this ethereal presence. People didn't even necessarily believe he existed. A lot of what he did was behind the scenes and in the shadows. Maybe in the canon now, there's an attempt to make it more of a public role for him, to try to scare people a little bit more in the same way that like their ships are meant to scare people, just by looking at them. So maybe that's an opportunity to kind of have him in the story without actually being in the story. But the other option, as you said, is to have this split between Obi-Wan doing the Obi-Wan thing, and then Vader, because they have this strong bond, you know, Vader could be driven at this point by trying to find Obi-Wan. I'm inclined to think that's less likely, just because it's not how they're promoting the show. On the other hand, they very much promoted the Mandalorian as a Mandalorian doing Mandalorian things without tipping their hand at all to the fact that Baby Yoda was in the show. You could even argue that, you know, that the Bad Batch was sort of, that the way they presented it and the way that it actually happens with Omega are two totally different sort of vibes. Like, you could imagine people going into that show and thinking, I don't really care about these characters, finding out about Omega, that's a whole new ball game. And so Lucasfilm has done this in the past, where they present a TV show in one way, and then you actually find out there's this whole new element. Are they going to do that with the Obi-Wan show, which has been, from the beginning, presented as so centrally about him, right down to the way that they actually had Ewan confirm his role? I mean, just all the marketing, all the branding, everything is like, it's this one character. Are they going to throw us for a loop and add in a whole second dimension with Darth Vader as like a third or a half even of the screen time? That maybe it's not the most outlandish idea given what we've seen with Mandalorian and Bad Batch, but I tend to think that it's unlikely. But I'd be curious which of those two approaches you think they're going to take.
I think that if we're judging by the example of The Mandalorian and Bad Batch, Obi-Wan is going to adopt an adorable child with special powers even before Luke, and they'll go on a beautiful emotional journey together. And it'll be a very cute child. Maybe not a baby Yoda, but something similar. No,
it could be
actually,
a bantha. A baby bantha.
A baby bantha. Oh, what do baby banthas even look like? I guess just small banthas?
I think we're going to find out. It seems like, you know, coming next fall to Disney Plus, we're going to find out.
What if it's a baby Sarlacc?
I think it is technically, so baby Sarlaccs, as confirmed by Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, are portable. They're, you know, can stuff them into jars and carry them around because they haven't yet dug into the sand and sort of established themselves. So yes, theoretically, like Obi-Wan could have this giant like contraption on his back where it's this glass cylinder and there's just a Sarlacc in there, but
heck yeah.
I don't
know. Like a cat backpack. Only it's a Sarlacc.
Oh, so yes, yeah, so you're probably thinking of what I'm thinking of here. You might even have one of these, which is like the backpack with the little bubble that the cat can look out of. So it's that, but it's a Sarlacc, and it like people are constantly coming up to him and being like, "Oh, like is that your cat? Oh, I bet it's so cute." And then the Sarlacc just presses its like fanged mouth up against the glass, and they like jump back in horror.
Yes, this is what I think is going to happen. That's my prediction. Folks, you heard it here first. Obi-Wan's adopting a baby Sarlacc.
Okay, we're going to hold you to that on our annual Hoth Takes, How Did We Do With Our Star Wars Predictions episode, where we look back at the past year. You know, I will say that I'm like just really interested in what kinds of flashbacks they're going to do. Is it mostly going to be during the war? Because that's sort of the era of the most like Anakin sort of coming into his own as a Jedi Knight and really, really getting hooked on that dark path? Or is it going to be the longer period of time before that, which we see very little of, by the way, which is pre-war, Obi-Wan figuring out how to train Anakin, sort of raising him, really at that point, much more of a kind of raising a child as opposed to teaching a student. That's a fertile area for growth as well, but of course Hayden Christensen can't play that version of Anakin, so that's not what Hayden's role will be in the flashbacks. Could we see somebody else step in there and play Anakin in that sort of period of time? Because again, you really only get Hayden for a certain window of time, and yes, you can stretch that back a little bit before Attack of the Clones, but I guess not too much further back, especially given what Hayden looks like right now.
Yeah, he's 40. Like, they could do some de-aging, but it only goes so far. I think that's a really cool idea. I would be super down to see more Obi-Wan raising Anakin, because I do think that's a really fertile ground for storytelling and really explains a lot about both of their characters. So I would be very down for that.
But then you do have the problem of, like, Ewan McGregor also doesn't look like Phantom Menace era Ewan McGregor.
De-aging, baby. They did it for Mark Hamill.
They
did. With Uncanny Valley effect.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that was so much. I don't know. Have you seen the behind the scenes of that episode?
I haven't. I must confess.
It looked like a lot of work for very, very few shots, and I just cannot imagine them doing that for even a full scene in this show. I was also, it's funny because I was just thinking about Dear Evan Hansen and how like everybody is basically aghast that like Ben Platt is still playing this, you know, this kid when he's like in his 40s or whatever. And
he's
so
28.
Yeah, so 28, and the actor is, how old is Ben Platt? What is he, like 45
no,
or something?
No, he's 28. Ben Platt is 28. Evan Hansen's supposed to be 17.
Oh, 17, that's what it is. Sorry, I knew there was a huge gap. Okay, so an 11-year gap. I feel like the Ewan McGregor to, I don't know, let's pick an arbitrary period of time, you know, in between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. Is that gap wider? I think that gap is wider at this point,
yeah.
Right?
So the thing that I think is interesting is that when Ewan McGregor played Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith, he was like 30, early 30s, but he was supposed to be playing late 30s. So you could kind of, because of that weird timing where he was actually playing someone older than he really was at the time, I feel like that allows for a bit of fudging in terms of what he would look like at a given time. But, you know, he couldn't go back that far. I don't think he could play 25-year-old, but maybe he could play 33-year-old Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I mean, so Ewan McGregor is 50, and if you wanted to split the difference between...
Is he really 50?
I just Googled it. March 31st, 1971.
He looks great.
He does. If you wanted to have him play Obi-Wan in between episodes 1 and 2, that would be when Obi-Wan is 30. And so that would be a 20-year gap. Now, I will say, to my point earlier, Ewan McGregor could pull off 30-year-old Obi-Wan Kenobi much better than Ben Platt can pull off, you know, 17-year-old Evan Hansen. Just looking at the, like, comparing when he started that Broadway run to, like, how he looks in the movie, I totally get that criticism of that age gap there. Even though it's a smaller age gap, I think Ewan McGregor just looks significantly younger than his age.
Like, I think they could just do what they used to do back before de-aging technology, back in the olden days when they would just, like, slap a wig on an older actor for a flashback. Like,
Can you imagine the mullet? Ewan McGregor donning the mullet again?
The mullet. And it's fine. Like, Billy Crystal in When Harry Met Sally is always the thing that comes to me, because he was, like, 43 or something when he was filming it. And at the beginning of the movie, he has to play a 22-year-old. And they just slapped a wig on him and dressed him in 22-year-old clothes and were like, yeah, deal with it. This guy's 22. You're like, of course he's not. He's clearly in his 40s, but we're going to suspend our disbelief here because it's a movie. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they could get away with doing that. But because they have a bajillion dollars, they probably will put a little bit more finesse into it.
I mean, I guess if it's only scattered flat, I mean, it's a limited series, right? So it's not as if this is some, like, you know, 22 episodes, you know, season or whatever. If they want to do one or two 1 minute or 2 minute flashbacks in every episode, and some of those, but not all of them, involve, like, significantly de-aged Ewan McGregor, they could do that. I mean, if they really want to tell that story, it's not some enormously burdensome task given how much time they've had and how few episodes they'd have to do it on. I guess the question is just, do they go to the effort? And then that gets back to, they're bringing in Hayden Christensen, so they want to tell some kind of story with Anakin Skywalker. And as I said, I don't think it is gruesomely mangled Darth Vader present day. I think it is flashback Anakin. And so some of that seems likely to be Clone Wars era, or, like, very slightly pre-Clone Wars era Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, that would seem fair. I'm sorry, I just got distracted thinking about how good Hayden Christensen looked in 2005 in Attack of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith, my bad. He was so attractive in that movie. He really had great hair. But I'm back. I'm paying attention to what you're saying now.
Wow, that was, you just, like, did a whole thing there. But you know what? That is a testament to the staying power of Hayden Christensen, because he could still make the ladies swoon 16 years later.
He sure can.
Okay, so can we switch gears now and talk about the Ahsoka series? Because, you know, this is one where I'm a little bit more nervous, frankly. I'm not quite sure what the right role is for Anakin on this show. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, a lot of storytelling about him. By the time of this series, he is settling into sort of Elder Statesman era. We kind of know a lot about him. Ahsoka, this series for Ahsoka, she's, you know, if not in her prime, you know, still sort of, I guess you could say, at the tail edge of being in her prime. You know, she's not sort of the teenage, you know, girl wonder anymore, but she is still going to be, she's not some old lady in this series. She's going to be jumping around, doing all the fighting. This is her time, as opposed to sort of, you could say, Clone Wars era Obi-Wan is his time. She has a lot more of her journey that we're going to see here, as opposed to looking backward. So that makes me wonder how they're going to use Hayden on the Ahsoka series, where, again, he's been rumored to show up. And Rosario Dawson, who plays Ahsoka, has sort of hinted at this on Instagram that he's coming onto the show. So I don't know, Grace, what do you hope to see from him on the show?
Well, I feel like I should first start with the upfront acknowledgement that I'm very skeptical of the Ahsoka show. I love Ahsoka as a character, which I think is probably why I'm so skeptical about the live action adaptation. I liked how she was used in The Mandalorian, but I didn't love it. And that's not really, that didn't really have anything to do with Rosario Dawson's performance. I thought she did a really good job. Although the prosthetics weren't great, I hope that they fix that for the Ahsoka show. But I mean, it just didn't grab me. And the idea of a live action Ahsoka show doesn't grab me. And the fact that Hayden might be coming in and that there also might be some Rebels characters coming in, that is intriguing to me. That piques my interest a little bit. But I still would have preferred an animated Ahsoka show or Rebels sequel. So I feel like just off the bat, I've put my cards on the table for that. When I saw the report that Hayden was coming back to, or was going to be on the Ahsoka show, I assumed that he would be coming as a Force ghost. So this is post Return of the Jedi by a few years. And as we know from the updated Return of the Jedi that they updated after Revenge of the Sith came out to have Hayden Christensen be the Force ghost for Anakin. Like, we know he's a Force ghost, a young Force ghost, and I think it would be pretty cool if young Force ghost Anakin was kind of there to guide Ahsoka, because they obviously did not part on the best of terms. And I think that could be very cathartic if it is well done. But I'm already skeptical about the show, as I just said, and I'm skeptical at them being able to pull that off. Again, them being the Disney overlords. So I confess some ambivalence toward it. So I'd be interested to hear what you think, Eric.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, when I sort of made my notes for this episode, I was saying, you know, I think his appearances will be flashbacks. And part of that was I was not necessarily thinking of the flashbacks being the two of, like, showing the two of them together, because obviously you can't have Rosario Dawson play Clone Wars era Ahsoka. It just is not going to work, especially early Clone Wars Ahsoka. So yes, I tend to agree with you that if they're going to use him in any kind of protracted way, as opposed to like one moment of perhaps archival, you know, hollow footage or whatever, it's going to be Force Ghost, present era, maybe even something similar to what is implied between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. You know, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, Yoda tells Obi-Wan, you know, I've made contact with Qui-Gon, he's taught me how to survive, you know, after death, etc., etc., and then implies basically you should start communing with Qui-Gon, which is of course how Obi-Wan learns to do that. There could be something similar here, where Anakin, basically from the great beyond, teaches Ahsoka how to basically get to the next level of being a Force user, how to take everything up a notch, how to commune even better with the Force. I don't necessarily know that I'd like that, because where does Anakin get that knowledge from? How does he do that? Can you learn that after you die?
Yeah, you learn that when you're dead. You know, he's hanging out with Yoda.
I know that Force Ghost Anakin obviously has the opportunity to commune with Force Ghost Yoda, and for that matter, Force Ghost Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, but like, maybe this is a tangent, but like, would you like to see Star Wars like establish that idea that you can learn those lessons and sort of elevate your connection to the Force after you've already sort of died and passed on? Clearly he knows something, because he did get the Force Ghost treatment, as opposed to like, you know, Sidious, and we're led to believe that like Sith Lords, when they die, they don't get that because there's just something about their connection to the Force that is too transactional and manipulative, and Jedi are able to do that because they're more harmonious with the Force. I mean, I guess we are led to believe that Anakin has sort of gotten there already, right?
Yeah, so this is an example of something I saw on Twitter recently, which was basically the assessment that Star Wars runs entirely on vibes. And this would be an example where that of just vibes being the explanation. Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? I mean, there are some people who would be upset by the implications or the lack of a nuanced conversation about it. But I think if Force Ghost Anakin shows up, they're not going to explain that at all, or, you know, talk beyond maybe a throwaway line like, yeah, I've been commuting with Force Ghost Yoda and Force Ghost Qui-Gon. I don't think they're going to deeply go into the lore of how that would happen. I think it would just be all vibes. And frankly, I have a limited capacity for caring about some things. And that's, you know, something that I would just let slide. Sure, why not?
I will say the whole vibes thing, which I agree with you, I think especially in the Disney era, Star Wars has been much more willing to lean on vibes. That is one of those things that actually makes me feel like the expanded universe canon, you know, pedants, where it's like, no, that's not right. That was explained differently in the books. You can't contradict that. Like, this is kind of that the one area where I'm like, okay, at least give me some explanation. Like, don't just wantonly contradict yourself and say, oh, it's all in the service of the story. Like, let's try to have some canon consistency here. I feel like I differ on this front from a lot of other fans who are willing to sort of be, again, sort of lean into the vibes a little bit more. This is one of those areas that makes me a little grouchy. We'll have to see how it's done. Again, you know, for all we know, they're bringing him in for one scene that is a flashback where it's Clone Wars era Anakin, and it's just him. You don't see Ahsoka. And she has the flashback, but she's not in it, so that they don't have to have, you know, a Clone Wars era actress. Or maybe it's archival footage of Anakin from that time, but again, without her in it. We don't know the role that she's playing. I think in general, Star Wars fans have a tendency to look at a casting announcement and make it bigger than it turns out to be, right? We've certainly seen this in the past where somebody is cast in a show and people either think, oh, they're playing this person, or they're going to have a massive role, a massive consistent role, and they end up being in it for one episode or for one scene or whatever. It's possible that in the case of the Ahsoka series, again, because of the sort of the constraints of using him in the Clone Wars era, that they just do that for a brief scene where they don't need a Clone Wars Ahsoka. Of course, it's also possible, Grace, as you note, that it could be present day Force Ghost Anakin. And that does open up some interesting possibilities, but how much do we want to see him kind of imparting his wisdom to her, given that he messed up pretty big? Like, he probably has some specific things he could teach her, but, like, in terms of this broader, bigger picture idea of, like, how to be a Jedi, how to do good in the universe, I feel like she has more to teach him.
Yeah, so something occurred to me while you were talking, where I remembered that episode in Rebels that comes towards the end of season two, before they go to Malachor, where Ahsoka is looking at the holocron, and it has a training program of Anakin, like, just talking about lightsabers. And so it's just a holocron recording. And she's just watching it, but it's still a very touching moment. And I can definitely see it being a flashback or a recording that's just one scene like that, where she's reflecting on her relationship with him. And there's that sort of instance of a memory that comes back to her. I could very much see that. In terms of him imparting wisdom upon her, if it is Force Ghost, yeah, I agree. I don't really think he has much wisdom he could really impart there. What would be more interesting to me, and that's because I am sappy, is like kind of a cathartic moment of them seeing each other again, where the last time they saw each other, you know, he straight up tried to kill her when he was Darth Vader. And so just having that kind of reunion as master and apprentice, where she could be like, I'm sorry I left the Jedi Order. And he could be like, it's not your fault. And et cetera, et cetera. That would appeal to me because I like that kind of stuff. But I can understand if that would not appeal to everyone.
Yeah, and I should say, you know, I was sort of downplaying the idea that they would do extended Clone Wars era flashbacks on the Ahsoka show, because then they'd have to cast somebody to play Clone Wars Ahsoka. But for all we know, they are going to do that. I mean, there's no reason to assume that Hayden and Rosario are going to be doing most of their acting together. They could very well be bringing Hayden back in order to tell a story that requires Ahsoka to be dwelling on flashbacks from that formative period of her life. And obviously Rosario can't play that version of Ahsoka. So that could very well happen. Do I think that is likely? I don't know. I don't know that we have any sense of gauging what's likely there, but that's entirely possible.
You know, it would be funny is if he just played a totally different character. Like if it was Hayden Christensen just playing a totally different character.
I mean, that's the ultimate troll, right? Is to have so is to funny. Have him just be like on the Obi-Wan show, he could be a cantina patron. He could be like a Tusken Raider and you don't even see his face. You know, it's like Daniel Craig in Force Awakens. Oh, yeah. So who would be the best random character for him to play on the Ahsoka show?
Oh, that'd be difficult. I mean, you know, it'd have to be some kind of just like random alien or stormtrooper or something like that. But just someone completely unrelated. Yeah, I think that would be hilarious. Everyone would be so mad. I would be mad, but it would be really funny.
I would love it if he played some random townsperson in like a town that she saves, and she's like, you know who you look like?
Like, you look familiar.
Have you ever heard of like Anakin Skywalker? And he's like, oh, I get that all the time.
Yeah, or it could be like in a really bad British accent or some kind of suspicious accent, like, what? No, never heard of him.
That's interesting.
Like Elvis, you know, like the theories about Elvis really being alive.
I mean, listen, they've brought back Emperor Palpatine from what seemed
somehow
like it,
Palpatine has returned somehow.
So I'm not willing to rule anything out for Anakin. He could be like fully corporeal, like no Force ghost shimmer, just totally alive and healthy, no disfigurement, in a completely random setting. And honestly, it wouldn't be as far of a leap from like bringing back Palpatine as I think Disney probably thinks it is.
Honestly, yeah, vibes. That would
see,
be
this
pure
is the thing,
vibes.
Though. Agree with me that there is a limit to the application of vibes?
Oh, 100%. When you were talking about canon and there needing to be continuity in canon, I really agree with you there. Like, this takes me back to our Bad Batch episode a bajillion years ago when I went on and on about how annoyed I was that they changed Kanan's backstory and that there needs to be some consistency over the comics and the books and the shows and etc. So, yes, I do agree that there should be consistency. That is, like, intense Star Wars fan grace thinking that. More blasé grace, who enjoys meta-ness and is almost kind of trolly in her love for Star Wars and its fans, she's more okay with vibes. But which, like, it's like within you there are two wolves. So within me there are two Star Wars fans, one which is purely vibes and one which is not. And it really depends on the day which one is winning.
I do feel like there's a screen grab of Anakin. There actually might be multiple moments where you can get this screen grab, but there's one famous one where his grin looks like that meme grin of the very famous like smiley face meme guy of a person who's basically a troll face, basically. Mm-hmm. It's troll face Anakin. And I feel like that's the vibe if you bring him back and he's playing someone else. And I feel like if that happens, he should just look like either at Ahsoka or straight to camera and just do that smile and just maybe like a wink. And then it irises out to credits.
Yeah. That would be very funny.
Like, he just turns to the camera, and we all know exactly what's going on, and he knows what's going on, and he's like, it's a living! And then it just, like, cuts to, like, it just cuts to black, and then the credits come up.
Oh, man. I would be torn between like, dying laughing and also so furious. On a more serious note, before I let this go, and speaking of a love of canon and continuity, I really do not want them to mess with Twilight of the Apprentice, the two-part episode season finale for season two of Rebels, in which Anakin, Darth Vader, and Ahsoka have a really good lightsaber duel, and she ends up cutting off half his mask, and she sees his eyes, and she's like, oh my god, that's my master, I won't kill you. And he's like, well, I'm gonna kill you because I'm Darth Vader. And he nearly kills her. Anyway, very great episode and scene, and it has a lot of emotional resonance, and it's super well done, and that's just generally one of my favorite episodes of any TV show ever. So if they mess with that, I will be aggrieved.
How could they mess with it, though? It's not like the Obi-Wan Anakin or the Vader Obi-Wan duel in A New Hope, where the Obi-Wan series could interpose something before it and ruin that moment. I mean, this show takes place after that duel.
I don't know. I don't know how they could mess with it, but they could, because, you know, somehow Palpatine has returned. Like, they can That's mess true. With anything. So.
We can't count those rascals out.
We sure can't.
Well, overall, I will say I'm excited for the Obi-Wan series, and I'm excited for Hayden to be on the Obi-Wan series. I guess I didn't address this earlier, but I'm kind of ambivalent about the Ahsoka series, too. I agree with you. I would rather have seen an animated series. There's also some questions about Rosario Dawson that we don't have to get into that I don't think Disney has really fully addressed, but I think that they're going to, first of all, have to improve the prosthetics, and second of all, they're going to have to really make the case that the story is going to really have to sell itself. It can't just be more fun times with Ahsoka. It's got to add to the universe. If it can do that, then I'm excited to see what Hayden contributes to that.
I would completely agree with that assessment. And here again, I think is an example of my status as a conflicted Star Wars fan, where I love Star Wars and I love so much of it that really has wonderful potential, and some of it lives up to its potential. But, you know, I recognize that these new shows are a money-making scheme for Disney, and I'm concerned that they will be too reliant on nostalgia rather than adding anything new and interesting to the universe, which we can see in worst-case scenario is kind of a Rise of Skywalker situation, and best-case scenario, it's like the last episode of season two of The Mandalorian, which I think is very good, but like heavily reliant on your nostalgia for the old movies. So I really hope that both of these shows do something new with old characters. And as nervous as I am about that, the fact that they are bringing Hayden back does make me more excited for both of these shows than I was before that news broke. So that's my overall assessment.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with that. I mean, the Marvel TV shows kind of got some criticism for, you know, being of unclear value to the broader story of the MCU. But at least in that case, there is a giant plan for how they connect to the movies, because that's just how Marvel does things. We have not seen any evidence that the Disney version of Lucasfilm is doing it that way in terms of the interconnection between these TV shows and whatever comes next. Partly that is, you know, Ahsoka and Obi-Wan are very much linked to the Skywalker saga. And we know now that they're done with the Skywalker saga on film. So it's unclear how these TV shows can support the broader story, except, you know, introducing some character in the background or as a side plot of one of these shows who then becomes part of this broader effort in the movies or whatever, something like that. The other TV shows that they're doing, the Rogue Squadron show, and they're actually doing a show set in the High Republic era, those could potentially open new eras of filmmaking. These shows, yeah, I don't know how they're going to connect to some bigger project, and that does, you know, create the problem of, or the possibility of, a story that doesn't necessarily justify itself. Although I will say, I think if that happens on both of these shows, which I think is unlikely, but if it does happen, people are going to be more forgiving on the Obi-Wan show, because I mean, you could just feast your eyes on Ewan McGregor sitting in his home on Tatooine for hours. I think there's just
so
more.
True, bestie. I would watch him drink tea for like 6 hours and have that be the whole miniseries and be like, yeah, I'm satisfied.
And the person who makes his tea, Hayden Christensen.
You look familiar. As a random local, winking.
That's a face I've not seen in a long time. Long, long time. I guess there's really no way to predict exactly how these shows are going to shake out, but I will say, excited for Hayden on both of them, a little bit more dubious on how it's going to work out on the Ahsoka show.
I concur on both counts.
All right, thanks for listening to our Hayden Christensen is back episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, or perhaps suggest topics for future shows, you can do that by emailing us at hothtakes@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at hothtakes. I'm at Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is at Grace_Seegers on Twitter. And Haley is at Burdenator. Haley made our fantastic logo and banner art. I edited this episode, and I put together our music. And again, for legal purposes, we want to point out all Star Wars themes and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. If you want to listen to past episodes, you can find a complete archive on our website, hothtakes.wordpress.com. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend. You can tell them to subscribe on all the major podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We will see you next time. May the Force be with you.